Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. We are so close. We are so close to the draft, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday afternoon. We got one more non-draft day until things kick off right behind me here at Lambeau Field and the greater Draft Experience footprint, which extends all the way down to Titletown. Man, things are picking up. They are doing some music testing, light testing, and things are really starting to pop across the street. I'm excited, and at the same time, I am completely over draft talk. I will tell you, as far as who the Packers are going to select, just get it over with. There's so many different possibilities this season, this year, in particular because of where they are drafting and how their needs kind of fit or don't with the class that is on offer. There are a million ways they could go, both in the first round, but also throughout this entire draft, as far as their approach. And then, of course, there is what everyone else does and how that affects what they want or can't do. There are so many possibilities. It's almost kind of brain freeze time, where I think we've certainly seen online that the chatter has gotten kind of, it's disappeared into itself. And there are so many possibilities when it comes to the Packers trading up, trading back, trading out of the first round, getting a defensive tackle, a corner, even a wide receiver in the first round, which I don't think is going to happen. But all of those things are in play. Whereas in past years, it's felt like we've been able to maybe not completely solidify, but go in with a decent idea of, you know, what, how the board was going to fall and where they would be focused. Doesn't feel like that this year. It feels like things are a lot more wide open with a lot more possibilities. And because of that, it's generated a lot of nonsense to my eyes. But I am very excited for the draft to arrive. And I am very excited to see you folks here in Green Bay, out and about around town, starting tomorrow afternoon. Myself, Corey, and a couple of very special guests in Andy Herman, Matt Ramage, and Tom Grassi will be at the Bay Park Square Mall in Ashwaubenon, about 5 minutes right down the street from Lambeau Field. That'll be at 1 p.m. local time. We'll be having a mock draft, draft Q&A, talking about how important it is to have the draft here in Green Bay. Come on out if you're in the area, 1 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good time. And, you know, this is an opportunity to talk about anything you want when it comes to the green and gold, not just the draft, but it will be draft-driven and draft-centric, obviously. And then tomorrow night, that's right, the NFL Draft Meetup, Cheesehead TV at Stage 1 in downtown Green Bay. Tomorrow night, I can't believe it's tomorrow, from 8 to 11 p.m., Carry the G will be on special. We got some giveaways for you guys and some special Packers guests coming on through throughout the evening. Going to be a good time. Hopefully, you can join us if you're in Green Bay. And if you're not in the area, which is obviously understandable, I hope you'll join us for our live stream of both Thursday and Friday night. I'll be live streaming right here from Corey's house, right across the street from Lambeau Field. I can legit, as I turn my head, see the stage. It is amazing. I can't believe this is all happening. Going to be a lot of fun. Hope you'll join us, whether you're in town or anywhere else in the world with access to the internet. Please join us here at Cheesehead TV for our live stream watch party. Going to be a good time. And hey, it's not too late to get your copy of the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Make sure you know everything and all there is to know about each and every one of these prospects. Get your Cheesehead TV draft guide. There's a link in the description of this video. Pick it up right now.
Who are the Green Bay Packers going to draft? Find out from the original draft guide by fans for fans, available from Cheesehead TV for the 15th season in a row. Hundreds of prospects analyzed with an eye towards their fit with the Green Bay Packers. We've got mock drafts, big boards, featured articles, tons of content for you, the Green Bay Packers fan. Get yours today.
Get it, folks. Like I said, link in the description of this video. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody mixing it up. Stu is here, as always, first up saying football. I love it. You can set your watch by it. Jocelyn starting us off with a super chat. How are you, Jocelyn? Thanks so much. Sorry, more talk. Fascinated with the different flavors in the second tier of corners, which fit best with Halfley since his NFL identity is somewhat unknown, and if Goot will highly prioritize the position. It's that last part that's key, I think. I will be very surprised. You'll be able to knock me over with a feather if they come out of this draft without a cornerback. especially after not addressing it last year in the draft. We all know Jair Alexander kind of hangs over the proceedings, right? And I know they signed Nate Hobbs, but we've talked about it a lot throughout this offseason. They certainly need an influx of talent. Premier talent would be nice, but there's little doubt that they will add at least one, maybe even two corners in this draft, because we've seen throughout the last couple seasons, when they haven't been selecting corners, they had gone through a stretch of making additions at that position pretty much every draft for 6-7 years in a row. Now that they haven't, I think that's, you've seen it kind of come home to roost, and they just desperately need to up the talent floor. And to your point, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be in the first round. I'm with you in that there's a possibility that they wait, and maybe even not on day two. And I know that sounds weird, but I think the position is too important to completely ignore it. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something akin to what we saw at the wide receiver spot a couple years ago with Goody, where he took three wide receivers on day three. It wouldn't surprise me to see him take three corners on day three, but we shall see, how it shakes out. Dustin, thanks so much for the super chat, man. Be great to see you all tomorrow night. I love Elik Ayomanoor. Late day two, early day three. He's a former hockey player and an absolute dog, the wide receiver we need. Dustin, I don't know if you saw my chat with Mark Oldacres, but he has him pegged to the Green Bay Packers in his predictions. So Mark was pretty on point last year. We'll see if it transpires yet again. Complicated. What's up? Did you not have a draft crush this year? Not to jinx your pick. We do have a draft Nagler's draft crush video coming your way. Hopefully it'll be out and about tomorrow morning. But yes, I have some draft crushes. Don't you worry. I mean, you guys know I've talked a million times about Jaden Higgins. I think that's the most obvious one, and that means it definitely won't happen. But yeah, there's some draft crushes in the hopper for you. Don't you worry. Let's see, Alex. That's interesting. I hope they pick a player that was productive enough in college that they can develop throughout the 2025-2026 season. I mean, I don't think somebody has to be productive to develop within the first season of their NFL career. I don't think, you know, one automatically leads to the other. Sometimes you get a highly productive player in college who kind of hits a wall that first year because it's such a jump and such a difference of talent that they're going against. Now, the last part, I think, is key. You know, you definitely want a guy who ends the season playing better than he started. And I do not doubt for a moment that, you know, whoever they end up, however many picks they end up with and getting, they need at least two or three of them to contribute throughout the season. And I'm not saying they have to come in and be starters. And I know that's oddly how so many fans look at it. Like, they need to draft guys who are going to start and contribute from the jump all the way, you know, start 17 games and contribute to a run in the playoffs, etc. I mean, obviously that's a great thing if it happens, but it's A, it's not paramount, and B, it's not very realistic. I do think, yes, 100%, they need contributors that will grow as the season goes along and that are able to grow into their roles. Now, look, if a guy has been, as you say, ultra productive, right? And he does get into camp and is clearly head and shoulders above the competition, then absolutely 100% he should be starting. You know, there's no doubt about it. But there's a lot that goes into that. And there's a lot of complexity when it comes to scheme fit and understanding your assignments within that scheme and how you're supposed to kind of utilize certain aspects of the game to your advantage when it comes to pre-snap reads and even post-snap kind of rotations on defense, etc. There's so much that goes into it that, you know, if someone's not able to get on the field, and I think Edrin Cooper is a perfect example last year, it was so clear how athletic he was, how fast he was, how the potential was there. It was jumping off the field, right? But there were clearly things that he was still working on and still learning that they didn't feel comfortable getting him out there 45, 60 snaps a game, you know? And from the outside looking in, that can be frustrating. But I understand it from a coach's point of view, you know? I remember when I asked Matt after that first game down in Brazil, because it was clear that, you know, Cooper had really jumped off the field and looked very impressive. And the first thing Matt referenced was like, yeah, he still made, you know, a bunch of errors, you know, and that's to be expected. Obviously, you know, the only way you're going to learn is making those errors on the field, et cetera. But, you know, I just caution people expecting guys to come in, start, and just play 17 games. Like, This is not traditionally how it works, especially not in Green Bay. Dustin, oh man, I feel you. My draft crush is Cam Scadabo, a total beast. I love his game. It's interesting seeing how, you know, especially after his run in the college football playoffs, he really kind of put himself on the map there on a wider scale. Obviously, the draft community and specifically personnel people knew all about him already, but man, he's an exciting player. And I love his game and how he kind of carries himself on the field and his ability and really a lot of different facets of the game. It was interesting to hear DJ say that he had talked to people in the league and how some people think he doesn't have juice. He doesn't have that juice, nothing, that second level kind of special ability, et cetera. Man, I get it that they're trepidatious about how he's going to hold up his style of play in the NFL. When, you know, it's not like you're running over the future gym teachers of America anymore. You're playing against the best of the best. And his style of play is, you know, brute force and breaking tackles and things like that. And can that be sustainable at the league level? I don't know. It's a fair worry if you're a personnel folk. But, man, I love his game. He's a throwback player. And I'm very excited to see him in the NFL. Aaron. As a fellow old, I love the Mandrich pick. I think I've talked about this here before. I mean, I don't think it was a question of like, I just thought, oh, it makes all the sense in the world. You know, everyone had talked about how he was this can't miss prospect. So yeah, the Packers took him and yeah, let's go. Let's dominate up front. That was the expectation. It's hard to get too juiced up about an offensive lineman, you know, pardon the turn of phrase, but yeah, I just remember thinking, yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Let's go dominate, you know? And then he and they did anything but. Let's see what you got here. Peter, this is a fair question. Is the weather going to put a damper on the draft? I don't think so. Although there is rain in the forecast, especially for Thursday, I think it'll be part of the gig, so to speak, part of the firmament of the draft week. And I suspect it'll be much like it is on game day. Now, of course, a lot of it depends on the type of rain. Like, is it a cold, freezing rain? Is there bitter wind? That could make it miserable and really dampen the spirits of the fans. But I think if it's just a, you know, spring rain, we got some light rain this morning, man, you just throw on your raincoat and you're fine. I think that's what the majority of people will do, especially if they're football fans. You know, it's not like we're out here ice capades or something. Like, it's football, and that'd be football weather. And I think most people will see it that way. Yes, there'll be plenty of people who grouse about it, but we don't need them anyway, you know? So, no, I don't think it will, unless it gets extreme. But from everything I've seen, as far as the forecast goes, it's not supposed to be anything extreme. So, we'll see. Big Al. Good question, man. Do NFL teams look at traits and ignore production too much? When should they trust the tape and betting on raw tools? It's really hard to say, man. I think it's more of a case-by-case basis than anything you could talk about as far as a blanket statement of the league. I know that is what you're talking about is certainly the criticism that comes the Packers' way a lot of the times. I mean, I do understand that criticism because God knows I've been frustrated at times when you know, the Packers have not always, but often kind of sided on, you know, or come down on the side of a guy with the traits, with the athleticism, who maybe doesn't have the greatest, quote unquote, teaching tape when it comes to tackling or the fundamentals. And they want that guy with a high athletic upside. And then you see him play in the NFL and he doesn't quite put it together and is never really the force that they hoped he'd become. I could be talking about Lucas Van Ness right now, right? Maybe I am. But yeah, so I get that frustration, but I also understand the idea of investing in a player long term, which is why they take the swings they do early in the draft, especially in the first round when they have 5 years of control on the player. Like the idea being, okay, we are going to live with those growing pains. And then by the time he should be coming to, you know, into his prime, we can make the decision about whether to invest in a second contract or to let him hit the market, you know? And there are certainly, again, there's certainly arguments against that about not taking advantage of the value of the rookie pay scale and the idea that you've got these players on rookie deals for so cheap comparative to guys who end up getting paid that you should be taking advantage of that more. I completely understand that argument, but certainly not how they operate. Aaron, that's a good question. Is traits overproduction, or has it been exacerbated by the college game diverging from the pro game? I think that's certainly part of it. And you heard Justice and I talk about that a couple of weeks ago in our traits versus production video. The style of play and what those guys are doing at the college level. And I remember talking to David Bakhtiari about this regarding offensive line play and how poor it was in the league, in the NFL, because of what was going on in college, right? These guys are barely doing like true three-point stances anymore. They're almost all up on their kind of two-point, like waiting for their pass blocking, which is inevitably coming because no one's running a pro-style, not no one, but very few teams are running a pro-style offense in the college level. But like that idea that what they're being asked to do is rarely preparing them for the intricacies and the what they're asked to do in the NFL. And, you know, I understand the fact that college football is its own animal, and it's not, its job is not to prepare players for the league. Like those coaches and those players are now being paid, the players are, to win football games on their level. You know, now obviously you want to showcase yourself for the NFL to get drafted high, to make a bunch of money. There's no doubt about that. But in the moment, you're trying to win. So this idea that, oh, we got to prepare them for the league, no one does that. Now, what's going to be fascinating is watching Bill Belichick in North Carolina and his kind of approach of that he has stated point blank, you come here because you want to get ready for the league. That whole approach is going to be very, very interesting to me anyway. I mean, just because, like I said, 99.9% of the college football programs don't give a shit about preparing you for the NFL. Like they are there to win their game right now. So I do think there is something to the idea that there's so much RPO, so much kind of, you know, difference in the hash marks and how the game is played. You throw in the fact that then guys aren't doing as much athletic testing as they have been in the past, in the recent past in particular, and that throws off what had become a pretty kind of set way of evaluating prospects. I do think, and funnily enough, Brian Gutekunst said this on Monday, that your pro personnel groups and personnel groups across the NFL are going to be forced to get better in a lot of different areas because of the changes in college football, because so many guys are opting out of so much testing. I think it all plays into it for certain. Marshall, thanks for the super chat, man. What are your top three positions you want the Packers to address in the draft in order? Interesting. I would say defensive tackle, wide receiver, and cornerback. And I think I also wouldn't be surprised if they took an offensive tackle at some point. But those are my three. Big Al, how are you doing, man? Who's a Packers draft pick you hyped up big time, maybe even overrate when they were selected? In your Packers fandom, for me, Jamon Moore. Oh, that's a good question. I hyped up big time, maybe even overrated when they were selected. Like instantly when they were selected? Bubba Franks. I was ready for Bubba Franks to be an all-pro. That did not happen, but I love me some Bubba Franks. But yeah, I thought Bubba Franks was going to be the man. I thought he was going to be like Keith Jackson 2.0. That certainly did not occur. Mm-hmm. Hit the like button. Thanks, Dean. Appreciate it, and thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Oh, that's great, complicated fellow. Green Bay Press Gazette headline will be Friday morning, question mark. The headline will be Green Bay shines on first night of draft. And then the second piece under the fold will be about whoever they pick. Aha, see how I got you there? So I don't have to say who I think they'll pick, because I have no idea. Joshua, thanks for the super chat, man. Do you think Shedeur Sanders has a higher ceiling than Love? No, I do not. Shedeur Sanders is interesting. I see a really talented guy who's going to benefit greatly if he does end up falling. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about where he's going to be selected. And you know, I do think if he can fall, he'll probably end up in a better, more solid program, and that will only aid him in his NFL career. I do think if he, you know, and there's been talk about him going top five, which to me is wild, but hey, you know, it's a league where you got to pounce on a QB early. I get it. But yeah, I don't know, man. If he ends up like at the Browns or something, which is being talked about, apparently, I fear for him in the NFL. But yeah, so much of it is, a lot of it is situational. Like where does he end up? Who are his teammates? What scheme is he working in? Who's his offensive coordinator? What type of offense are they? Like, it's just, yeah, I think he's talented as hell. There's zero doubt about that. But I do think some of it is going to be about fit and what program he ends up in. Mike, thanks for the super chat, man. Any chance on taking a tight end like Luke Lachey from Iowa, random Packer, MacArthur Lane? There we go. Wow, old school. Yeah, there's a chance they go tight end. I said at the start of the offseason, tight end is a sneaky need coming into not just the offseason, but the draft in particular. I don't know about the Iowa kid simply because I don't see him as the type that they would need on the kind of back end of the room, right? But yeah, I do think there's a decent chance they kind of surprise some folks and take a tight end on day three. I'd be surprised if they took a tight end with one of their kind of first day two picks, right? But hey, I've been surprised before, no doubt about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.